trip. I'm looking forward to hearing all about this week. And so we definitely missed you guys while you were gone. And let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can just be here. Father, I pray again as we pray soft, Father, we just come here and we are able to worship in the midst of just the things that were going on personally in our lives, Father. The good and the bad, Father, we just bring them to you this morning. Father, I pray that we offer a sacrifice of praise as we worship, and we would be looking forward to hear from you this morning through your word. Now, we would just not be hearers of your word, but then actually do something with what we have heard from you and apply them to our lives and live them out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's worship this morning. You can stand, you can sit.
Praising my Savior. Thank you. That we have, and we talk about this a lot, but the rate at which the world is changing, it feels like time is just speeding up, and that takes us closer and closer to the day that we will be with you. God, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your protection, for your covering, for your leadership, for your comfort, for your forgiveness. God, speak to our hearts and let us respond in obedience, in humility. Let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt who you are. Amen. I come before you today. We're going to slow down just a little bit. Just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For all you've given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. our Savior. Thank you that we have a full confidence in you. God, that we are more than conquerors in you, that in your name there is power, there is provision,
yes.
There is healing for a nation and for a world who desperately needs it. God, let us be faithful as your children to walk out the truth of you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Let us walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Yes, no, there. Now I can hear you. I don't know if that's a good thing, but I can hear you. Did you all have a good week?
Yeah.
It's good to see Mike and Patty back, too. Haven't seen you guys in a couple weeks. Homestead's all buttoned up. Yeah. That's good. Awesome. Got all the projects done, right? Nothing left to do. Yeah. I can only imagine. There's always projects at my house. I can't imagine at a homestead how many more exponentially projects there are to do constantly. So a couple things before we get started. Next Sunday, we will be relaunching Children's Church. Yes? Yes? We are relaunching Children's Church. I don't see all my teachers here, but and then the 28th of this month, we'll be having our annual church business meeting. So that's on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So be here. That's your chance to hear where your money goes, what we do with it, time of conversation. If you haven't been to a church business meeting here before, it's not like probably anyone you've been to. If you've been to typical church business meetings like the ones I grew up going to, they were 3 to 4 hours long, and they argued every line item. That doesn't happen here. Ours lasts for about an hour at most. We can talk about things, but I've never seen any arguing or going, why are we spending money there? But it is an opportunity for you guys to come and ask questions of our budget. Our finances are open to anybody if you want to look at where money is going. You have access to that all the time. It's not just a one time of year thing. You can see where all the resources are going. So I encourage you guys to come back, come to that. I will talk about that again next week. I just keep re-announcing it. So again, hope you guys show up for that. So I thought there was something else, but it's gone. So it must not have been important. So we are in Ephesians. No, we're not in Ephesians. We're in Philippians. Wow. Maybe I need to sit down and have somebody else speak this morning. We are in Philippians this morning. Yes, that's where we are. Did you guys enjoy last week, those of you that were here? Who was not here last week? All right. You guys missed out. I encourage you guys to go back and watch it online. Jonna Clark came and spoke. She is a director of Young Life. She came and spoke last week. I thought she did an awesome job. I love, like, I'm not a big catchphrase kind of guy, but I love she brought the story of Lazarus and, you know, who wants to be a stone roller? And I was like, I love that. I love how she weaved that in, you know, with that story about Lazarus. Somebody complained, well, he's going to be stinking. You know, he's been in a tomb for 3 days. And she's like, yeah, if you work with junior high kids, boys in particular, they stinketh, you know. So it's like, I love how she just weaved all in there. It was absolutely beautiful. I'm like, yeah. And then she had one of her leaders, a young man that got saved in Young Life. He came and shared as well, and it was super powerful. So that's part of our, she came and spoke to the elder board 2 years ago, I think it was, and shared her heart. And as a board, we're kind of like, what can we do? So that's on the table for this year's budget as well. What can we do to help in that regard? Financially, but also they need lots of prayers as always and volunteers. So if you want to be blown away, I know she would love to have volunteers come and help out with their stinky kids. and you guys will be changed more than they will, I'm sure, because, there's parts of me, and I want to go do that, but I know I have other responsibilities, but man, that's my heart too. So anyway, I encourage you to go back and watch that, listen to that. And there's stuff on the back, on the information booth about Young Life. So if you have kids in that age group, it's not just for unsaved kids. I wish I had that when I was in high school to
take my unsaved friends to because it's geared for unsaved kids, and then lead them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's a cool ministry for sure. So we are in Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, I'm going to go back, and I hate jumping into things again. We're going to go back and can again read. So go back to verse 8 of Philippians chapter 3. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having any righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteous from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And a couple weeks ago we talked about knowing him and the power of his resurrection. This morning we're going to look at and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That I may share his sufferings. And I know we talked about that quite a bit, and we've talked about that, but this whole idea of suffering we don't like. We don't like the idea of suffering. We don't like the idea of sharing in any kind of suffering, but the scripture is full of people suffering. And we think about this, if I know him, am I gonna want to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ? Do I want to share? We want to share in all the good things of Jesus, right? But we don't always want to look at the suffering that Jesus did. Do we really want to suffer at that level? Do we want to have that Garden Gethsemane experience? Do we want to get to that place where we're just overcome with things in our lives? And last week, 2 weeks ago, I keep thinking I spoke last week, 2 weeks ago, we were in a little bit in Acts, and we're going to kind of jump back there. So Acts chapter 5, this is the early days of the church, and they're all coming together, and they're having some issues with people giving gifts that aren't from the right heart attitude, and Peter and the apostles are speaking, and we come down to verse 17, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are all upset about it, and they throw him in jail, and as we looked at a couple weeks ago, an angel came and let him out of jail and told him to go speak and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And I love that. So Peter and the rest of the apostles weren't very bright, if you think about it, right? The angel lets them out of jail, and they go right back to the place that caused them to go to jail in the first place, right? They go back and start standing in the temple. Because why? Because they were told to, and they absolutely know who Jesus Christ is, right? And so they go, I won't go through all of it, but if you read through the rest of that, chapter and all the things that happened, they were looking for him, and then somebody goes, hey, look, these guys are standing in the temple, they're teaching the people. So the officers, they all go back, and they bring him and stand before the council again. And the high priest is questioning in here in verse 28 of Acts chapter 5, and the high priest say, we strictly charge you not to teach in his name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. I love their boldness. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. I love the accusation just leveled. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Here's Peter and the apostles standing here. We don't care that you told us to shut up. We're going to do this anyway. That's knowing who Jesus Christ is. Staying in the gap, staying and going, like, I don't care. I'm going to stand here no matter what the cost. So they suffered by going to prison. And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. And then so they go through the rest of it, and we come down to verse 40. And when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council. Listen, look at their response. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from the house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That's knowing your Savior to the core of your existence. So when you're beaten, you don't leave whining and complaining. You leave rejoicing that you suffered. You were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Man, I need to hear that this week. It's really easy to get wound up in the things and my rights and what I want and all those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, what am I upset about? Am I more concerned about who Jesus Christ is? Am I more concerned about the things that he's trying to teach me through his word and experiences? Or am I more concerned about my rights and my issues? I love watching different things on YouTube. You can get these things where you just, like, it's either The Voice. I don't know if you guys like The Voice or America's Got Talent or whatever. Those kinds of shows. I love watching those things. And I think, I don't remember what show it was on, but this little gal came on. She looked like she was about 60 pounds, soaking wet, maybe. And she sang this original song of hers from a place she had been. She had gone through cancer and still had cancer in like 3 different places of her body. And she goes, they have given me 2% chance to live. And instead of going, I only have 2% chance to live, she goes, at least it's not 0. I have 2%. And I was like, wow, what a perspective to have. Instead of griping to the fact that I only have 2%, at least it's not 0. There's a chance. I can't imagine the pain and suffering that she has gone through. I know nothing about her, but just listening to the song she sang out of this place of anguish. And we know some of the, we read through scripture, and when some of the apostles were in jail, what were they doing? They were singing, right? Messing things up by singing. Seems like I recall they were singing in prison. Another angel showed up and did some damage. Right? That's quite fascinating to me. But to rejoice, to be worthy, count worthy to suffer dishonor. Are we quick to defend ourselves? I'm not saying we should be doormats or anything like that, but I'm saying, why are we defending ourselves? Are we defending ourselves because we're being our character is being questioned? Why is it being questioned? Would we be like the apostles if we're speaking? Would we be speaking the words that we say? The things that we say, are they so inflammatory that we'd be thrown in jail because they are promoting the cause of Christ? Would we be accused of being a Christian in our society today by how we talk and what we talk about? And after being thrown in jail, we were released, would we be willing to go right back into that place of continue to speak no matter the cost? Because I believe that day is coming. I mean, in some ways, it's already here. I don't like the idea, personally, of suffering and those kinds of things, but as I talk to people and listen to things going on, it's like I never thought I'd live to see the day we're standing in right now. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We're going to finish up this morning with some verses out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter has a lot to talk about when it talks about suffering. And I just happened to look at, you know, I don't know if you're in your Bibles, and if you look at the introduction before you even get into the scripture part, it kind of gives you some background and some history of when it was written, who wrote it, those kinds of things. And in my Bible in the introduction, that says the readers of the Apostle Peter's letter were confused and discouraged by the persecution they were encountering because of their faith. Peter exhorted them to stand strong, repeatedly reminding them that Christ, them of Christ's example, the riches of their inheritance in him, and the hope of his returning again and take them to heaven. Peter explains how Christians should respond when they suffer because of their beliefs. I think there's a lot of that today. They're confused and discouraged by their persecution. And I get it, but I think we shouldn't be just confused and discouraged if we're being persecuted for our faith. We should take that as a really good, a badge of honor. Because if I'm not being accused of my faith, there's probably something with how I'm living my life in front of people. So here in 1 Peter, we're going to look at a couple different passages of Scripture. Again, with this keeping it always in mind that we're talking about this place of sharing his suffering. Sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Sharing in that attitude that he had. So here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found and result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, I don't know about you, but just like, over and over again, there's nothing I've learned more deeply than through my times of trials and sufferings. I mean, even like last night, I was over at some friend's house, and they had a young lady there that was hanging out with her daughter. And we were talking, and I don't remember how we got talking, and she was she's an occupational therapist, and she's learning how to become one of those. And she's going through the training, and so we got talking about the experiences I've had with occupational therapy. And so I was able to share some of my past and pain with her, and it was just like, it was amazing to watch this revelation, because she was writing a paper on the things I was talking about. She was all these kind of things. So it's like those moments of suffering that I have walked through years ago, and here years later, I was able to share with a young lady, not all the details of it, but here's this connection that I would have never had without that suffering, that I would have never had without that trial, I would never had without that carving out. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it in the moment, but standing where I am now, I wouldn't change anything, because it has done for me like what a time of ease through that same time period would have never done. It took really immature young man and grew him up really hard, really fast. And I'm grateful for that. Because it's like, it does test the genuineness of my faith. If I haven't been tested and tried, I don't really know how strong my faith really is. If I haven't gone through any kind of sufferings, if we don't go through any kind of suffering, we really don't know how strong our faith really is. If I always have everything I need and don't have to rely on God for anything, and I can just take care of myself, that's not a whole lot of faith. But don't get me wrong, I like to live there, right? But I also like it when, maybe I shouldn't say I like it. It's always interesting when God allows those things to come in my life and I see it for what it is, and I mine everything out of it that I can, and I don't always do that well. But every single time I want to come out on this other side, more refined, more of the things that are of not of Jesus Christ in my life, I want those things burned away. I want to be refined, and that's what, to me, suffering does. That's what the trials do in our lives. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory, and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin in the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who did not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Man. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon and test you. Right? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Right? But it seems like I get in a good place and everything's going along really good. And then something goes sideways. I'm like, really, God? And he's like, really? What do you mean, really? You've had it really good. Now it's time to have a little testing. Right? I get surprised when he's like, does what he says he's going to do. You know, test you as though something strange is happening to you. I love the humor here, right? But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering. And then I love how he goes on in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. He's like, if you follow those categories, it's kind of your problem. You're suffering the consequences of the choices you're making. Right? So if I go out and deliberately do something that's a violation of the Word of God and I'm suffering for it, it's kind of like, well, I gave you options. Right? The Word of God is so clear. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. Your choice. Right? I mean, probably none of you did that with your kids, right? Here's your choice. You can choose this or you can choose this. I didn't give my kids a lot of choices. I said, you will do this, and if you don't, this is a consequence. I don't know if that's a choice or not, because they can choose to still do it, right? I have to be careful to tell all my kids stories. But these choices that we get to have. And I love verse 19. It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. And some of us have a real problem with that right there. I'm suffering according to God's will. You mean it's God's will that I suffer? We don't like that. Right? Suffer to God's will and trust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. I see some of this. Like, I used to have problems with it, especially as a young man before I had kids. Let those who suffer according to God's will. It's like, I don't like that. But then I became a father of boys. And there are times that I let them suffer. I could have changed the outcome, but sometimes experience teaches very a lot better than I can with my words. Right? If you give a boy a knife, the knife will teach him how to use it. Right? But boys like cutting themselves. Even no matter how old they are, right? Some of us will constantly always cut ourselves, right? Because like, well, I know I can cut toward myself. I know how to do this. And I've heard too many stories lately of people just absolutely doing lots of damage, right? So is that my will that they suffer? No, I could not give them a knife in the first place. But then I just squashed my boy's heart, right? I don't know a boy that doesn't like blades. My grandson has to be checked every time he goes to preschool now because he's carrying blades in his pocket, right? Because Bubby has given him lots of pocket knives. Well, they're laying around the house, and Bubby lets him play with them. If he can get them open, he can play with them, and he's very safe about it. But I know I caused some consternation with his grandmother and other people. But I'm watching, right? So that's just, but I love how this is the same picture I see with Father. He's watching us. He's let us do these things, and he has this will for our lives. And here we got to entrust our souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. He is faithful every single day. In the midst of our trials, he is still faithful. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't removed his protection. He is still faithful. Even though it doesn't feel like it in those times that we're suffering and really down, like, man, this really stinks, God. It's like, I know. I got you, though. He's got us. And in in that protection and that getting in that entrusting our souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. We drop down to verse 6 of chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And again, I love progression of Scripture. So we're thinking about this suffering with Jesus and entering into his sufferings. And we can't do that unless we walk through his progression. If we're not humble, if we're not willing to come under the mighty hand of God and waiting for him to exalt us, if we're not casting all our anxieties and worries on him and realize that he really cares for us, we're not going to go through that time of suffering with any kind of grace or learning anything. If I'm stubborn and I don't want to be humble and I think I've got it all figured out, if I don't want to submit myself to the mighty hand of God, which is ridiculous to me, but I've been there, I think I can do this better than the Creator of the universe. Like, wow. Again, like being a father, you can do it that way. Right? Look at you, watch your kids and go, you can do it that way, it's the hard way. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Understand who your enemy is. Resist him firm in your faith. And understanding we're not alone. We go through our sufferings. We're not the only ones going through them. And I know in that moment the enemy talks to us. And I don't know about you, but I know there's many times that he's like, you're the only one going through this. And it's because you messed up somewhere really bad that you're going through this. And that's just not true. And in those moments, that's why in Scripture it tells us to come together and what? Bear one another's burdens, right? Isn't that what it says somewhere? And what? So fulfill the law of Christ. This is not the remainder of that verse. There's a lot to be said because so often when we're going through suffering, when we're going through trials, we isolate and get by ourselves. And there comes the real damage. And I've seen that in the last 2 years that we've gone through. The isolation is way more devastating than we will ever understand than anybody that's ever lost their life to COVID. I'm telling you, the isolation has been more devastating than anything else. We'll never know the numbers on suicides and everything else that have happened in the last 2 years. We're not going to track that. That's not newsworthy. Our brothers and sisters, we know, are suffering throughout the whole world for the cause of Christ because they're choosing to stand firm, because they're choosing to say, I'm not going to bow. And I love here how it says, and after you have suffered for a little while, yeah, it sure doesn't feel like a little while in the moment, does it? Feels like it's going on for a long time, and some of those seasons are for a long time. Sometimes those seasons aren't just for a day or two or a week or two or a month or two. Sometimes those seasons are for years or two. And in the midst of that, are we going to still say God is a faithful Creator, God who has my best interest at heart? Is it going to be that? Or am I going to question and start believing the lies that are bombarding my brain, either through the enemy or just my own faulty thinking of forgetting who I am and who my Savior is and what he suffered for me? And I love this piece of hope here. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of some grace, is that what it says? The God of what? What's that word? All? You guys awake? The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself. Man, look at the power here. God of all grace, who has called you, will himself. What's those words? Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, if that's not a guarantee, if that's not something worth going through the suffering for to attain on the other side, I don't know what is. I love that the God of all comfort, I love the God, the creator of the universe, I love that I can suffer the similar things that Jesus suffered in different ways, I understand. But I love that I can come to the point at the end of this that he will restore, confirm, and strengthen and establish me. And I have seen that happen in my own life. I've gone from a walk-in closet in an apartment in Georgia on my face, losing my mind literally, to a place of restoration, to a place of wholeness, to a place of confirming and strengthening a broken son. Going, son, I got a plan for you. I'm using this most devastating thing of your life to call you back to the path that I have for you. I don't believe I would be standing here today without that moment in time. And allowing the God of all comfort to come and restore and strengthen and confirm the call he put on my life as a young man. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's not about me attaining anything. It's about me pushing in. It's about me receiving the power of Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. That's what I'm attaining to. That's what I'm tapping into. That's the reality when I'm going through those times, when we're going through those times of trials and sufferings. That's what we need to rely on. That's what we need to push back into and go, man, look what has been given to me. Look what has been afforded to me. Look what has been sacrificed for me. And I am so thankful that right now we have a Savior who continues to intercede on our behalf. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. So I don't know where you are this morning. What kind of trials and tribulations and what kind of things have been going through your mind and your heart and the trials that you're walking through right now this morning. But I want you to hear above all things that you have a Savior who loves you and he has a plan and he is right there with you and he can reveal to you exactly what you need to hear from him today. Don't fight the process. I know it's easy to do. We want to fight the process. But when we humble ourselves and submit to God's mighty hand, I promise you, you won't be sorry. I promise you, this might be your moment in time like I had, that this is going to be transformational for you in the days ahead. We got to get stronger, not weaker. We got to push more into who Jesus is, not remove ourselves farther away from him. as we go into our prayer time this morning, I'm going to pray, and then we haven't done it for a while. We're just going to sit in silence for a few minutes. If somebody wants prayer, I'm up here, and I'd be happy to pray with you. But I just want us to sit in time of prayer. I'm going to pray, and I'll close us again. But I just want you to sit and listen to what Father would have him say to you this morning about whatever he's brought to your mind in the last few moments. Respond to what he's asking you to do. Father God, this morning, as we come into this place, we're going to be silent here in a moment. Just have your will and your way in this time. Father, for those of us that, those that are going through some trials and tribulations, some really hard moments right now, Father, I pray that you would speak so clearly to them right now. Words of truth, words of grace, words of mercy, overarching words of love. And above all things, that you've got them. They are so loved and protected in the palm of your mighty hand. So speak to us in the next few moments, Father. Amen. Father God, I always thank you for today. Father, I pray these last few moments that we would go on with our conversation with you. Father, that we would push into who you are. You're constantly talking, you're constantly speaking to us. May we hear your voice. Father, give us the courage to take the stand we need to take in the days ahead. May we have the boldness like Peter and the apostles. They just would flat refuse to shut up. They just continued to talk and preach about who you are, regardless of the consequences. Give us that boldness. That firm conviction that we will not bow the knee, that we would not compromise the truth of who you are as we speak to each other and to others outside that have no idea that the Creator of the universe loves them. Give us opportunities this week, today, to share the good news of who you are.